All right.
Welcome
We
back.
are back. Welcome back. Sorry for technical difficulties, but that's how it goes when we go live.
Yeah, and the minute we start talking about Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg, gone.
Boom. They don't Listen. Like us, man.
Pyramids. That's clear. Fucking pyramids right there. Just that alone happened.
No pyramids. I'm not moving.
Well, we were talking, I was gonna say, Rob, you said
that you're blaming Jake Paul for everything happening now, where it's just yes. like whoever. All we need is like Ariel Helwani versus fucking Brett Okamoto.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, you gotta love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg is a black belt.
Yeah.
However, he's only 5'7".
He's at 250.
Yeah, he's got like 100. Likely Zuckerberg would win.
Yeah, I feel like Zuck would win just because he's been training. He's got that
Zuck choke.
It's gonna be a Zuck choke. Yeah.
The celebrity death match has become the combat sports world now. It's just whoever. Marilyn Manson versus Charles Manson.
Do you guys think it'll ever happen?
Well, on that note, Jorge Masvidal and none other than Sean Strickland have invited both to come train with them. So my pick would be Zuckerberg, Masvidal knee, KO.
Hmm. Clubbing. Nah, I got Mark, man. I think he's gonna be the one to submit this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Wow.
He suppresses information. He suppresses people's speech. And he's un-American as fuck, bro. And it's sad that actually African American.
Crazy things have happened, but dude.
Jake Paul effect. Transitioning to the next topic, we'll get to that one. That's gonna be the biggest case, outside the case story for months and months until it happens, or whatever shit still occurs. Man,
I think your mic sounds different, David.
I know Rudy said you don't believe much until it happens, right? And I mean, what we've heard lately is with the shit. Gym, he got fucked up according to, you know, the training partner. That's kind of pretty hardcore to say coming out of the DS camp, but, you know, stuff like that. Like, he could be a fucking spy for Jake Paul, right? Robert.
Could be. Your mic sounds a little weird, David.
Lost audio.
The audio issues tonight, bro.
I know. But yeah, he could be a spy. He could be a spy.
Who's a spy?
Everybody. Everybody's a spy.
Mark Zuckerberg is a spy. Mark Zuckerberg is a spy from some other fucking planet, bro. That dude's not human.
Yeah, there's something to that. Yeah.
Yep. He's an alien, bro.
I think he's an alien, bro. 100% taken over.
He looks like one.
He's reptilian. Have you seen that video when he was talking, lying to Congress under oath, and his, you could see the slits of his eyes? It's like, oh shit, bro. Yeah.
He reminds me of that. Have y'all remember seeing that movie, V?
Yeah. He looks like one of those reptilian.
He looks like one of those guys.
Yeah,
those,
bro.
From that movie V.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm. Cowboy Stadium, Musk and Zuck, the fight we all wanted. We're going to get it.
Dude, it has to be that. It has to be Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor 3. Dude, yeah. That would just be. And oh, John Jones versus Tyson Fury. Bro, imagine that would be like trillions of dollars made.
Or Jones and Ganu. Either way, I'm cool with Jones.
We could raise enough money to just solve world hunger and, you know, just everybody's a millionaire after that.
Dude, if you just combine Zuck and Elon, they could help. They got money.
True.
But why would they put in their own fucking money for a fight, bro? That
because hell they don't have nothing else better to do with their money.
You know what?
They could go to, they could hit up a slap series. That could be the main event of like the biggest slap series.
Yeah, you know what? We could do that. I will. I'm calling somebody out right now. Power slap. You know, me versus Bill Gates. I will slap the living shit out of you, bro. Bring them on. You know, it'll be three of the richest people on the planet in one night.
Holy shit.
Bro.
It was like, yeah.
Print
like it. A black hole would just like collapse on itself. And, you know, the universe would
be done. I'm going to fire up that fucking CERN particle accelerator for the third fucking time on that night. Right? And I'm going to send Bill Gates to another dimension.
Well, man. You always said Mark. We need Mark to get training for slap series. I was telling him he could walk out with the fucking cane mask, and like, who would he? What weight class would you be at, Mark?
Heavyweight,
featherweight,
heavyweight.
Nah, that's featherweight,
bro. It's no longer super heavyweight. It's now heavyweight.
But Mark, featherweight. Mark's gonna come out like Kane. It has to be vintage Kane.
Yeah, and I want to see him come out to, you know, fighting featherweights. That way, he slaps him across.
He's got to have his voice box here. Yeah. I am Kane.
And you need to be dressed as Paul Bearer, bro. No.
Oh, my God.
And have Socko on one hand.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That's too classy. Yeah. But, yeah, the slap series, they want the biggest, baddest fights and the baddest, richest people in the world. Rudy just gave you the rundown of the fight card. Make it happen.
Make it fucking happen.
I'm gonna text JT Tilly right now and say, book Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And Mark Zuckerberg into slap series, either to his promotion, Slap Fight Championship, or to Power Slap.
Bro,
either one.
Dude, if they went on Power Slap, I mean, that at least that's a fair advantage. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what? Yeah. And Zuck's friends with Dana White. So,
yeah, I mean that's a lot more. That's a lot more fair than an MMA match, dude. You know, you put up a guy who's never fought against somebody who's been training. It's not even a comparison, you know. But in Power Slap, now we're talking, bro. I think Elon. Mm-hmm. I think Elon takes his fucking lunch, bro.
No, on the second thought about the venue. Remember last time? Didn't Zuckerberg like rent out the Apex? So if they fought, it would be like an empty Cowboy Stadium, and it would just be them two.
Probably.
Right, you know,
bro, imagine the acoustics hearing that fucking slap in the Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah, no, they would, no, in actual,
best whatever, ringtone ever.
You're like,
oh!
Right?
That's what you would hear Mark.
Ah!
Stop!
If they decide to go full MMA fight, though, they could also just like bring the fucking Kumite ramp in the middle and just like let them go at it too, right?
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I say we do like the American Gladiator, bro. Bring that show back and have them compete. That'd be fucking cool, bro.
Oh, dude. Have Gina Carano back.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that version, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Look at all these great ideas. Look at these fucking great ideas, bro. That's what they need to do, man. American they need to bring back American Gladiators. They need to bring back the show Cops. I remember watching that shit all the time. It was hilarious, dude.
Cops was my jam. We would watch that show after America's Funniest Home Videos.
So many you see how stupid people are, bro. Like, obvious, ridiculous shit. Like, hey, did you just throw that brick through the window? No, officer. Like, I got you on camera. I just saw you. Then why did you ask? And then they start running. Fucking crazy ass.
Albuquerque episodes were the best.
Yeah, dude. I was just going to say, the best ones are from Albuquerque.
Yeah. I mean, they do have, like, newer shows that do sort of the same thing, but, like,
there's Live PD was a new show like that, but they got shut down real quick.
Oh, there's way too many fucked up random people just doing, like, the weirdest shit ever nowadays. Like, it'd be incredible if they were to just, like, have Albuquerque again, or even fuck anywhere. You know what I mean? Nowadays, it doesn't matter where it's at.
Bring back Cops, bring back American Gladiators, and what's another good show they could bring back? Fucking Fear Factor, dude.
Oh, yeah.
With Joe Rogan
again.
Fear Factor. Oh.
They should have Bass Rubin on it at the new host.
That would be cool, too. But I'd like Joe Rogan, man.
Yeah. Or George St. Pierre needs to do his own UFO show, as far as things, the way they're playing out now.
Oh, yeah.
But that's for another show. We're talking about a fight that may not happen. That, you never know. It's fucking Twilight Zone. But a fight that we know we're not going to see. We've seen him actually face off last week. Johnny Boy. Jones and Francis Ngannou face to face at PFL, man. Like, what do you guys take on that? Was Jones a little bit tipping on Fofo's a little bit thing?
Jones was tipsy as hell, it looked like.
What? Was a little tipsy. Bro, Jones was, he was cornering somebody. He can't be tipsy. What are you talking about? He was cornering a fighter, cornering dog. Someone? Yeah.
That ain't gonna stop him. That's John motherfucking Jones.
Nah, he wasn't tipsy, bro. That dude just got, bro, that was all fucking stage, man. He was just trying to get out of there, and they put this fucking scrub in front of him. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Ngannou, I've never been impressed with Ngannou. I've always said it. He's just the hardest fucking hitter. He's the hardest hitter. Other than that, he doesn't really have any game, man. John Jones would fuck him up.
Very harsh take, and not. We're not going to see the fight. I mean, I don't know what that meeting was about. I mean, of course, it was just to draw eyes to PFL. They had Jones under the same roof, and they probably thought something was going to break out, like Jones would just, you know, cause a scene. But no, it was respectful, but, like, I liked Francis's coming. I mean, they both had some pretty good comebacks, but Francis telling him, you know, 3 years, man, like, to come up, I mean, that's still strange, you know, that happened. We had to wait that long for Jones to actually fucking make the move, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's, I can't say that it's staged, but I think the PFL knows and knew what they were doing. You know, obviously they knew that John Jones was going to be there cornering a fighter, and they had to bring Francis Ngannou, obviously, because he's this big dude now with the PFL, so why not put them in front of each other and see what happens? But nothing was going to happen. No, we all know that.
It was dumb, bro. It was dumb. It's blowing smoke up your ass.
It is. They're just trying to get more people to talk about the event and what happened. Oh my God, John Jones was facing off with the gun.
This is dumb, bro. No. I'm more interested in knowing, you know, what are you gonna do with Ngannou? Like, who's gonna fight him? Who's worthy to fight this dude? And is it gonna be entertaining, or is it just gonna be, you know, a fucking can, bro? You bet the fucking farm on this dude, and the best you can come up with is, you know, a face off at a fight that's, you know. It was just dumb, bro. The media was all hyped on it, and oh, it was a fucking face-off, and Ngannou Jones face-off. That wasn't a fucking face-off. It was just some shit-talking, dude, and it was, I don't know, it was dumb, man. It was dumb.
See, and then rumor has it, though, too, like you're saying, Rudy, about the MMA side of Ngannou. We know that he's going to take part in a boxing match. Pretty big names have been discussed from Tyson Fury, Joshua Wilder. But Eddie Hearn said, I read an article that Francis's fight may, in fact, happen on that Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua fight. So as soon as that happens, you know, I guess that's going to happen before the end of the year. I don't know the date. But I guess that's very proper. I guess their timetable on Francis fighting in MMA, they said about a year. So Buck and Stipe maybe emerge as that contender from now until then. Who knows? Maybe it's John Jones. But as long as Francis is fighting, I'm interested. And like you said, Rudy, that was just the face-off and it's about nothing and facing off with the GOAT. And
now, as close as we're going to see that fight happen. I said it before, man. I think the most interesting fight for Francis Ngannou would be against Deontay Wilder. I think Tyson Fury would just box him up and fuck him up. But you get a guy like Deontay Wilder, the Bronze Bomber, he's going to go in there and try to fucking throw some haymakers at this dude. They both would, you know what I mean? So that would be the biggest fight, you know, ever, man, in my opinion. That would be an awesome fucking fight, dude, to see Ngannou versus Deontay Wilder in a boxing ring.
And I think we all, like, fight fans, hardcore fans, old school fans, would just be happy with Francis coming back after making a shitload of money, of course, in boxing, and then fighting. I don't know. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter who it's going to be. But hopefully it's, like, somebody that's a quality opponent.
Yeah, it does matter, dude. It does matter, man. That's the thing. You know, they paid this dude so much money. It fucking matters who he fights. And I think the only real money fight is a boxing match, bro. I mean, I honestly, who do you see in a heavyweight MMA that can do anything to this guy? You know, that's
somebody in PFL. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Exactly, bro. Yeah. I mean, all the ones that they had, I mean, they got fucking pop. So
yeah, true. Very
you know,
true.
I don't see it happening, bro. It's just not. I don't see a fight that interests me, man. The only one that does interest me would be Deontay Wilder, man. That would be a fucking badass fight.
Fuck yeah, bro.
Well, from a guy we definitely want to see fight, of course, Francis Ngannou, to a guy we thought was done fighting, and he retires after a week.
What the hell?
Silva is back, ladies and gentlemen.
That was back. A quick ass retirement.
Back from what though?
The dead.
I mean, this guy, like, seriously, there's obviously something wrong with
him. No, there's nothing wrong with him, bro. I mean, you got to remember, I've said it countless times on the show, that these guys, this is how they feed their families, man. So who is it for anybody to say, you know, that honestly, man, that should be a, you know, discussion his coaches should have with him. You know what I'm saying? If they really care about him. And even, I don't know, dude, you can't just stop somebody from making money, man.
No, but there's other ways to do
and,
it.
And then
it
there's
be
and
out
then,
of the fight game.
And then there, you know, the responsibility falls on the commissions too that are sanctioning these fights with these fighters that have been KO'd fucking 11, 12 times in a row. You would think that they would protect the fighters, but they want to sell the fights and make money. It's, I don't know, man. It's sad all around, bro. I mean, I don't want to see him fight anymore, but you know, I'm not going to say, hey, you can't feed your fucking family, bro. That's not my decision to make.
Yeah, I mean, his opponent, I didn't even know he was fucking fighting until Rob said that he lost and retired. And then here we are, he's back and wants a rematch. But I guess that leaves the option open for him and Tyler King to fight in the Dana White Slap Series eventually.
Oh, my God.
Let's get that fight set up, too. Ryan, if you're listening, JT, let's get Tyler King and Bigfoot Silva in the fucking Slap Series.
Do
there
it.
There you go.
But yeah, it's kind of amazing though. That's just, it's sad, like Rudy said, but still, that's all the guy knows how to do is fight. Mm-hmm. And I mean, geez, 12 KOs in a row is not going to stop you. I mean, I think there's worse record of fighters out there that have had a bit
and you say there's other things to do. I mean, what do you want to do? Work at Walmart, bro? You imagine that guy being a greeter? Welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Like, you can barely understand what that dude says, fighting? Dude.
Wasn't Greg Hardy working at Walmart, or is that some fake skit that he did?
He really was.
He was working. You know what's funny, dude, was Tai Tuivasa. He's like a Domino's delivery driver, bro.
Oh yeah, that's right. He does deliver pizzas in like Perth or something.
Yeah, Matt, imagine getting fucking Tai Tuivasa delivering your pizza. That'd be the coolest shit ever, bro.
You could imagine John Jones delivering your pizza or Connor.
Oh no, hell no, man. I ain't eating that.
That's some extra toppings if you catch my drift. No,
I'm not eating it, bro. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm covering that shit in gold and framing it on my wall.
That's very necessary. Very, very necessary. Yeah.
It's John Jones, bro. Right. He saves people with hot dog water.
Well, Bigfoot Silva, he's back. Better than ever. And it's
better than ever.
But a fighter who's not better than ever and looking pretty, I don't know, non horse meat ish. Alistair Overeem. Have you seen the latest photos of that man? Like, what has happened?
It looks like when he fought Chuck. He looks small as hell.
I think he looks sick. Rudy, I don't know if you have a picture of him.
No, I have a picture of him that I can post up here, but
he looks very healthy.
Well, I mean, after his last K1 win, they took it away from him because he got popped with steroids like again. So,
oh, in glory, yeah.
You know, so he's got to stay clean, man, if he wants to fight again and make money for his family. He's probably going to continue to get fucked up, you know, if he's not on the juice.
Yeah, he sort of has to take it. Like, yeah, that's kind of like the Undertaker. He had to have roids for breakfast in the end, right, Mark?
I'm not going to say anything like that because I don't know.
You know the Undertaker eat roids.
No, that was Brock Lesnar.
No, the room is looking like a 55er, so it's pretty crazy. So I don't know what's happened. Sort of like the Gordon Ryan deal, you know what I mean? With shit like that, you know.
Vitor.
Yeah, that's what happens, bro. You know, these guys juice up and, you know, they get big. They can't stay big forever.
Yeah.
Not like me.
Oh. Yeah, not like just Rob. El Natural, El Jefe. Mm. But did you guys see also there's a fucking, they started cloning Khamzats too. There's a second Khamzat. What is the fights in Bellator? God. Or what promotion does he fight in?
The second Khamzat? Isn't that in Brave?
I'm not too sure. I just seen it and I know they started cloning Khamzat, so that's where he's been.
Yeah, it's a Brave. Let me see here. I think I posted an article on that.
So yeah, eventually every fighter is just going to be a Khamzat. That's it. They're going to breed them for like war and just whatever. You know? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'll never forget him saying that. I kill you. I kill all of you. Like, whoa, shit, bro. Do you have a bomb strapped on you? Like, what the fuck? That's some scary shit, dude. That was like the first time I really seen him. And I was just like, bro, is this? That's kind of creepy, dude. That was creepy. And then he got annoying.
Yeah, and we haven't. I mean, that's the thing, too. Well, on the topic, like, when do we even see Khamzat, man? Like, I heard, what was the fight that's supposed to happen? The Kamaru Usman fight, right? I mean, he could fight Costa. I think Paulo Costa's got a fight book. I forget who he's fighting. There's a crazy, wicked matchup with Sean Strickland that could happen. Because I mean, the last time we seen Khamzat, he laid waste to Kevin Holland in like 2 minutes, right? That's his last fight. He was supposed to fucking fight Nate Diaz, but he might have killed Nate that night.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that didn't happen. I'm glad it went down the way it did. It was Nate and Ferguson, wasn't it?
Yep. That's how it ended up in a crazy. See, that's where shit. Like I said, shit's been hasn't been the same since
they fired up the CERN particle accelerator, dude, in like 2017, right? I knew that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, but it's never going to be the same. And I mean, every fighter is going to be like Khamzat. We're getting Zuck versus Musk. We're not getting Jones versus Ngannou. That's how twisted of a Twilight Zone alternate dimension where we can't get the biggest fight we all want. We get Musk against Zuck. That's what we get. But But to get to some real fight bookings, there was quite a few announced. The UFC's officially announced that Mexican Independence Day, September 16th, I believe.
Let's fucking go.
I'm pretty sure it's in Vegas. I don't know where they're going to hold. I mean, they really do need to consider Mexico, but I don't know how that's
going to happen. It's in Vegas. It's not. They're not sure if it's going to be a fight night or a pay-per-view event. There's only three fights booked so far on that card. If it's the one that I'm thinking that you're going to say.
Yeah, it's Alexa Grasso.
Okay, yeah. So there's only three. There's only three fights on that card right now. They're not sure what it's going to be yet because, you know, they're just barely now putting in that card together.
Well, I'll tell you one person they need to put on that card.
John Jones.
Fernando Padilla.
Oh, hell yeah. Him too.
Fuck yeah, bro.
And I guess if Yair just starches out Volkanovski, then they could put him on there too, right? Why not?
Yeah.
That's a big if, David. That's a big if.
Yeah. Hey. Win it. He starches.
Oh man, that's Volkanovski. A good fight. I love that fight.
When he does and defends and becomes the true champion.
Well, if it's quick work, it'd be only right to get him in there on a quick turnaround against maybe the guy that wins the main event this Saturday, which we'll get to in a bit and do our picks, predictions. But continuing with fight bookings, recent as today, we were talking about Diego Lopez. He's fighting Gavin Tucker. And Diego Lopez, if you don't remember him, he's the guy that nearly took out Rudy's boy, Mosvar Evloev, many different times. And that was probably his toughest fight of his career. But Diego Lopez, Gavin Tucker, that's a dope featherweight match. And it's taking place at the Nashville, August 5th. UFC fight night in Nashville, going back to Tennessee. But there's also, what's the other one I wanted to mention too? Rob Font, Song Yadong, UFC 292. Super necessary. Rob Font fights on the East Coast and in Boston. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a Tyler King sighting that night somewhere. UFC 292 in Boston, August 19th. They added the number 8 Font against Song Yadong Song. A very necessary fight, right? Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Cejudo versus Chito at Boston.
That's another one that's added to that card, and it's super necessary too. Because, yeah, they got Henry wants to get back in there, right?
That's going to be an interesting fight, honestly. That's going
to
be.
And it's supposed to be that. Is that the same night as Aljo, right? The Aljo Sean O'Malley fight.
I believe so.
And that's still, like, up in the air as if it is, like, indeed happening or not, because there's still, like, some fuckery going on. And I guess Aljo got a Lamborghini from Dana, so that was his gift. He was like, here you go. It's time to fight, you know, O'Malley in Boston, right? I don't know if you guys seen the post of his Lamborghini, though, but Dana White gave him a pretty legit 2023 Lamborghini Huracan, I believe. It's like an $800,000 car, so.
Damn.
But I think August 5th, Verna Janadroba's out. Jessica Andrade will face Tatiana Suarez. That's on the UFC Nashville card. So that's some high-level women's matchups being booked. That Nashville card's filling up. Let's see. Did they have Tucker Lutz? No. Kai Car France and Manal Cape is official for, I think it's a fight night main event. UFC 293, or it's 293, sorry, September 9th. So Cara France is actually getting a pretty quick turnaround, and after that kind of shitty chintz decision with Albazi, right? But yeah, and then also to cap it off with some boxing, as recent as today, we do have it official too. The man back here, Canelo Alvarez, will also be fighting September 16th, Mexican Independence Day, against Jermall Charlo. Finally, Rob, finally happened.
Finally, man. Finally. Yeah. Sorry to switch what we were saying here, but the Khamzat doubleganger is from Brave. It's a solo Manov. He's the Khamzat Chimaev doubleganger. I have that article at the website.
Is he an asshole too?
No. He's from Ukraine. He's Omar Solomonov. He He fought at Brave CF 71. So, sorry. I just wanted to look at that and let you know that.
Every fighter is going to be like that guy. Like, they're all just going to look like Chimaev, like I said. And that guy is a Chimaev, like, clone for sure.
Mm-hmm. But the Canelo fight, man, I can't wait.
That's a busy Mexican Independence Day weekend. I mean, you got the big card going up against Canelo. So, I had heard rumors about it that the UFC, even Dana, somebody had asked him a question in a presser where he unofficially leaked it and said they were going to do something. But I thought it may, in fact, be Mexico, but that's just not in the cards right now. And maybe in 2024 it's possible with the guy you're holding the belt, maybe still too. So, but
Pena versus Blatchfield.
Yeah, that's a definitely legit fight right there, too. Interim title that should be announced. Probably, I think it is for that the September 16th card is what it's for. So that card's stacking up. Yeah, so somebody's got to go out there. I mean,
Pena Blanchfield one is just, I don't know, like, is Pena going to move on from Nunez mentally? Because, you know, like, she's going to be wanting that rematch. She's going to keep talking about it, but she's never going to get the rematch with Manda. You know what I mean? Like, Nunez is retired, but we've seen this happen with fighters before where they got fixated on a rematch that they never got, and they never were the same. They just were shit after. So, like, she might be so fixated on the Nunez, and then she ends up getting completely destroyed by Blanchfield in that fight.
Fresh contenders, too. I mean, yeah.
Or Pena could be saying, okay, now that she is gone, I want to be the new goat of the division. And that put a fire up her ass to, you know, become the goat.
And then she loses like a razor thin decision to Holly Holm.
Whoa. You can't just say she had a fire up her ass.
Why not? It's super necessary.
But also to cap off the outside the cage news, of course, we're in the fight bookings portion. We talked about it. We said it would happen. I said it was it's going to happen. It's happening. Floyd Mayweather Jr. and John Gotti, October, the rematch.
Are you serious?
Yes, indeed.
I got Gotti, bro. Gotti, I have Gotti.
It was
I will never pick against Gotti.
What? No, but it was the most Googled thing in the world, apparently, was that bullshit that happened with them. So
if it's exhibition, Floyd wins again. If it's under his pro record, it's going to be a draw.
Bro, Mayweather is never going to fight for under his pro record.
Never
it's
again.
All pure exhibition bouts from here on out until he can't move.
Yeah. So it's either he's going to win or he's going to draw, depending on who he fights.
If he wants to continue fighting when he can't move, it's going to be a thumb war.
And it still won't be on his pro record.
Yeah, it won't be on his pro record. It'll still be an exhibition bout.
Exhibition slap fighting and
slum
fighting before it's all said and done. Yep, I agree. But that ends the outside the cage news. Fight bookings. The UFC is booked out till September, October now. We have a lot of fights that don't matter, like John Gotti and Floyd Mayweather, Zuck. And Musk, like, who knew that shit was going to erupt in the news? Connor's not fighting Chandler. Here we are. We're just out here making up history as we go along, right? Especially on this show. But we have UFC on ABC, returning to ABC. It's number 5. UFC going back to Jacksonville. Isn't that where they were during COVID, right? This is where Tony Ferguson's soul got taken, right?
Yep.
It was Gaethje and Ferguson with no crowd, which is still creepy, by the way. When those events were going on, those were just too weird. But that's for another show. But we have 14 MMA bouts, starting with the fight poster. Rui Lara.
Bro.
It looks something like we've seen something like this before.
I like it. It's not too bad.
I like it, man. I do. I freaking dig it.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, shoot, it's a. It's a 6 or 7. I gave it 7.
Yeah, this was creative, man. I like the I like that it just has the fighters, and it's black and white, but like their tattoos kind of stand out with the color. And yeah, man. I mean, this it pops, bro. It's not it's not the best and it's not the worst, but it's definitely 100 times better than the shit that they've been doling out recently. So I'm going to give this one an 8.
So same here, man. Giving it an 8.
I'll agree.
Mark, do you think Shahid Khan will be in attendance for this show?
Shaka Khan?
Possibly, yeah.
See? But they didn't do the Jacksonville Jaguars colors, so I'm disappointed on. There have been a 10. They used
a little bit on there. They have a little bit of Jacksonville colors in there.
Miami Dolphins, what it is.
There you go.
Shaka Khan.
Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, we have 14 fights. We can go through all of them. Or Rudy, where do you want to start? Or I know you're not going to be pulling
we
up.
We got 15 minutes.
We could do them. We'll do them.
Let's do the first one. Cody Brundage, Sedikris Dumas. I got
Brundage.
Short notice, and Sadiq, I don't trust either of these guys to win or lose. I'm going to pick it wrong. I'm going to go for Cody Brundage. I mean, every time I picked him, I think a Tapology, I've missed all of his fights, but I'm going to pick him here.
Next one, Tatsuro Taita, Clayson Rodriguez. I'm going Tatsuro.
Tatsuro, bro.
Big Tatsuro. Japanese prospect. Yeah,
and he's gonna submit this fool in the second round, man.
Yeah, Rodriguez is he's a legit fighter. That's a fight of the night, possibly early right there with an early finish or something. But Taita is a prospect for Japanese fighters, and he's ranked number 16, so he's climbing that ladder to the top at 25. So. Some new contenders, we need them.
And we got Jamal Emmers versus Jack Jenkins. Jamal Emmers is a minus 200 favorite, plus 170 underdog for Jack Jenkins. I'm going to go with the underdog here, bro.
Jack.
Jack's a destroyer with the leg kicks. Jamal Emmers is inconsistent, but I don't know. They both haven't really fought like top-notch, caliber fighters. They're a little far out in rankings in the realm of relevancy, but I like Jack Jenkins. I think he will. In fact, climb that ladder. Then he bust up our boy Don Shanus, right? Last time his fight. So they both got KO power. Jenkins kind of has a little bit more of a mix of it all. Emmers definitely has like a one shot kill though, but Jack Jenkins my pick.
And Jenkins is like he hasn't lost in a while, bro. He's like on a 6-7 fight win streak. Jamal Emmers is really hit or miss. Yeah, I don't even know how Jack Jenkins is an underdog here, but whatever.
Yeah, that's a money fight. Yeah, pick Jack Jenkins in that fight, absolutely. That's my lost pick of the week right there, that one there.
And then we got Trevor Peak versus Chepe Mariscal. Trevor Peak is undefeated, 8-0, minus 200 favorite, going in against a plus 170 underdog, Chepe Mariscal. I don't know, man, I think this is a bad matchup for Trevor Peak. Trevor Peak is a stand-up fighter. Chepe is he's a ground guy, man. He's a wrestler, Elevation Fight Team. I think this is a really bad matchup. I'm going to go with the underdog in this fight, too.
But Chepe, yeah, I mean, I remember seeing fight Steve Garcia live, or I remember in LFA with Chepe. It was sort of controversial, too, the way the fight ended. I forget who the ref was. But Trevor Peak, he came out guns blazing last time. He's got a lot of first-round finishes, so I think if he does win the fight, it could be some crazy first-round finish where Chepe just brings the fight, too. I know that guy's style, and, yeah, him and Steve was a wild, wild fight until it ended. I'm going to pick Trevor Peak. I know Chepe is the underdog. It's a close fight, though. It's a dog fight, both these guys.
I got Chepe, bro.
I got Peak.
And then next up, we have my favorite fighter, Nalgas Zamulov, with a new haircut, the Patty Pimblett hairdo. He stole his soul. And then we got Josh Oban. He hasn't lost in a while. He's 7-1-0.
Yeah, man.
And he's actually the plus 150 underdog, minus 175 favorite for Zamulov. I think Zamulov is due for a win. Pretty much the last two fights that he lost were decision fights. I don't think he lost the fight against Jeff Molina. But yeah, man, I think he's due a win.
I think, Vans, I mean, he's a finisher. Like, he's got all, he's like, what is he moving down a weight class? Isn't Zamulov coming down?
Yeah.
Or were all his fights that flight? Or yeah, all his fights were bantamweight fights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, so the change of weight class, Josh Van, finisher at flyweight. It's good. I don't know. He can't lose Zhumagulov. He's cut, right? He's got like four losses in a row or something
no,
like that.
He's on three losses right now.
Yeah, and that haircut is bad luck. I'm going with Josh Van.
Me too. I'm going for Josh Van. Is he going to finish the fight? Is he going to finish the fight? Probably not. I think it might go to a decision, man.
Well, next up, moving on the prelims, we have women's strawweight, Jillian Robertson. She asked for this fight. She gets it. Tabitha Ricci, been looking impressive lately, inside, I might say, and outside the cage. But Jillian Robertson, change of weight class, too. She's going to be bigger than most women at this weight class. So Tabitha Ricci hasn't fought, like, the best ladies just yet. And this is a good matchup. I like it. It's 18 against 13. Ricci's just going to have to... Yeah, she's going to have a big reach disadvantage. She's a lot smaller. I don't know. I could see Jillian Robertson grind her out for three rounds, and maybe Ricci, in fact, could steal the fight late in the fight, get a finish or something like that. I could see it happening.
Yeah, man.
I got Jillian by submission.
Who?
Jillian.
Yeah, she's a plus 100 favorite. I mean, underdog, minus 125 favorite for Ricci. The odds are really close. I want to see them at weigh-ins, man. Tabitha Ricci, she's awesome, bro. You ever watch? She's just that chick is so fit. I've seen like the way she trains; it's insane, dude. It's insane. But Jillian Robertson's no slouch, man. Definitely a live underdog. I don't know, man, if I would bet against her in this fight. You know, she's gonna be bigger, like you said, a lot bigger. That's gonna play a huge factor in this fight. I don't know, man. I want to pick Ricci by decision, but I have a bad feeling, man. It's a bad matchup for her against a bigger, stronger girl. Yeah, not looking good for her. So I may switch my pick to Robertson. I just want to see that weigh-in.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, some close odds on some fights where, you know, this may be a card to you to make some money because – yeah, they're, I don't know. Robertson has an underdog. We shall see. But Rudy, you're right. The weigh-ins, we'll go from there. But the next fight on the card, still on the prelims, of course, men's lightweight, Mateusz Rebecki against Loic Radziwiłł. And Rebecki just goes in there to car crash, and then he's just down to throw down from the minute the fight starts. And he hasn't lost in a while. And I guess this probably is like a low-key fight of the night, right? It could be.
Yeah,
right?
for sure, dude.
Rebecca KO round three.
Yeah, it's minus 125 favorite for Rebecca, plus 105 underdog for Radziwiłł. It's a really close fight. I mean, this is a pick'em fight, but I'm picking Rebecca.
Yeah, because Radziwiłł came from PFL and had some good wins in PFL. Rebecca, I mean, yeah, I don't know. He hasn't fought like a lot of the top dudes, but I mean, it's 55. You know what I mean? From ranking number 40 and up, it's all loaded with killers. So he's trying to climb up. He's got a great record. So I just have a feeling he wins some crazy fucking finish. And this fight is sleeper fight of the night for sure. And moving on the prelims. Wow. Well, we get to see Randy Brown. Well, okay. So they do have, I'm looking at Tapology. So it's got Randy Brown, Wellington Turman, and then Neil Magny, Philip Rowe. Is that correct, Rudy? Are you looking at?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. So Randy Brown, last time we seen him out there, what happened to Randy Brown? He ran into the buzzsaw.
He got starched.
He ran into the GOAT, Jack Della Maddalena, and talked a lot of shit, and Jack went in there and ran through him. Like, we haven't really seen anybody do that to Randy Brown, but Wellington Turman, I can never pick this guy's fights right. I mean, I know I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going Randy Brown submission, like, late in the fight.
Yeah, I think Wellington's coming down in weight. You know, he's fighting 185. And he's coming down in weight. Minus 250 favorite for Randy Brown. Wellington Turman's a plus 205 underdog. Yeah, man, I want to see him at weigh-ins. I want to see what these guys look like. My pick right now is definitely Randy Brown. But, again, that could change at weigh-ins. I want to see how much bigger Wellington Turman is.
Right now, my decision is Turman. And it's going to be by decision. But I'm waiting for tomorrow morning.
What did Sadiq Youssef say in his quick breakdown? He said, Wellington tournament. Sounds like a guy that should be a civil rights leader, but oh, he's not a black man.
Yeah.
So he's like, therefore, Randy Brown. But yeah, Randy Brown's usually pretty huge at 170. I think he cuts like 30 pounds just to get to 170.
Yeah.
Kind of like the next guy, both these guys cut a lot of weight. They're both pretty huge. Magny's fighting like his younger self here against Philip Rowe, right? Because Philip Rowe's fucking dangerous, man. Like, Neil Magny is what, the winningest welterweight of all time, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
I mean, you don't get that record. He didn't get that record by fighting anybody that's a slouch.
He's been around for a long time, too.
He fought all the killers. He's trying to deny an up-and-coming killer, basically what this fight is. But I like Philip Rowe, man. I have a feeling he could pull it out as long as he has the cardio.
Same here.
Magny's always got the cardio, you know what I mean? So it's a fight where he can make a big statement by getting a win over Magny. I'm going to pick Philip Rowe.
Yeah, -150 favorite for Magny, +120 underdog for Philip Rowe. I'm going with the underdog, Philip Rowe. I mean, this dude is just riding a 3-fight win streak off of some killers: Ryan Kosi, Jason Witt, Nico Price, all finishes. Neil Magny, you know, his last one was a dark choke against Daniel Rodriguez, and before that, about a year ago against Max Griffin, a split decision, and Jeff Neal. Be a decision. So usually wins fights by decision. I don't see this fight going to decision. Philip Rowe's got fucking hands, bro.
Yeah, and Neil Magny's win, the record is like it's one of those win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. It's like,
he's a Gicta. That's what you call a Gicta. Mm. Yeah, he's the number one Gicta of all time. But yeah, Philip Rowe, that fight that he had that last time with Nico Price, I think he got hurt early. Is able to storm back, so he's got the cardio. He definitely will need it, but Neil Magny will fuck up your parlay and your picks. So may in fact want to pick Neil Magny, but I'm going Rowe. And moving on to the main card, this is official first fight on the main card. Brandon Allen, Bruno Silva, I guess starting this fight, this main card out proper. Both action fighters. Brandon Allen goes for the kill. Bruno Silva, who was his last fight, Rudy? Was it against what's his face?
Against Brad Tavares.
Knocked Brad Tavares out in the first round, so that's impressive. But Brandon Allen's another Gicta, and I can't pick this guy's fights right to save my life as well, but I'm pretty sure what Allen should be the favorite, right, Rudy?
Yeah, he's a slight favorite, -165 favorite, +140 underdog for Bruno Silva. Right. Brandon's riding a 4-fight win streak. Bruno.
And all my finishes. Yeah, man. I'm picking Brandon Allen.
Yeah, I think Brandon Allen. By submission,
round submit.
Allen by submission.
Yep.
Same. I'm going to go Silva, KO, first round.
I think that's the only way he gets it done, by knocking this fool out.
Yeah, that's, I mean, because I can't. Brandon Allen's he's hot, but like Tommy D would say, he's due, but he might be due for a loss on this side, you know. So, yeah. Brandon Allen's dangerous on the ground. He gets the fight to the ground, it's probably over. Next fight doesn't make a whole lot of sense, like where it's placed on the card. I know David Onama had that war with what Nate Landwehr. He's been on a layoff since then, and very proper, took a lot of damage. Gabe Santos, where did Gabe Santos fight before?
LFA.
Okay, he's the champ. He was the champ.
Yeah, and then he fought Lerone Murphy and lost via split decision.
A close fight, very close fight with Murphy. Yeah. What are the odds? Because I think I have Santos locked in on Tapology, but it's a close fight.
He's David a -240 favorite, dude. Gabriel Santos against David Onama, +190 underdog. Yeah.
Gabriel Santos by decision, bro.
I'm going with Onama, dude. I think Onama's gonna put this kid out.
He will look like that finish early too. Onama's going to look for that big finish early, but I feel like Santos is going to be technical and just control him for the whole fight.
Hey, coming off the layoff, too. But, yeah, that's I don't know. The rankings is very strange. This fight got booked. But, yeah, David Onama, yeah, hopefully the time off served him well. Took a lot of damage. But next fight up, I really don't understand this card, our fight on the main card, but it is heavyweight. And all I can say is Justin Taffa. He's always angry. He's mean looking and KO's Austin Lane in the first round. That's my pick.
Yeah, I agree, man. Yeah, Austin Lane, that dude's been on quite the streak, but Yeah, man, he's gonna go in there and try to stand and bang with Tafa, man. Crazy thing is, he's 6'6". Justin Tafa's 6 foot. This is gonna be a huge, you know, size advantage for Austin Lane. But you know, with that advantage, I think he's gonna come in with a little inexperience and try to rush this dude, and that's a bad thing to do with fucking Justin Tafa, man. He's gonna go in there and just. He's going to club him, dude. Lights out and club his ass.
Austin Lane's got nearly all of his victories in his entire career first-round KOs. So let's put that out there. But I think he – I don't know, man. Like you said, he lost to Greg Hardy, like on the Contender Series with Greg Hardy. So he came back, and he's had, like, the tough path to the UFC. So I think he knows he's got to get in there and – you know what it takes to be a UFC heavyweight and not jump the gun, go guns blazing. We've seen that. What's that guy? Very similar record to all knockouts first round. He got smoked a couple weeks back. Heavyweight guy, I forget his name. So yeah, but wins over Juan Adams, Richard Jacoby recently with ground and pound. Austin Lane is dangerous. I forgot about the size disadvantage. So somebody's getting fucking finished. But I'm gonna stick.
Yeah, this is a car crash, bro. Fucking car crash.
Yeah. Very necessary where it's at, but it could probably kick off the main card too, instead of, you know, right under the co-main. But it's okay. It will deliver. I have a thing. So, co-main event, we do have women's flyweight Amanda Ribas, Macy Barber, super necessary fight. Ribas number 9, Barber's number 11, and they're both on coming off wins.
Yeah, the plus minus 175 favorite for Amanda Ribas. Plus 145 underdog for Macy Barber. I don't see how, bro. I mean, Macy Barber's been on a win streak, 4-fight win streak. Amanda Ribas, she recently beat Vivian Araujo, and she lost to Caitlin Chikagian. She beat Vina Jandiroba, and she lost to Marina Rodriguez. So it looks like she has a problem with women that are bigger than her. And it looks, you know, Macy Barber is going to be bigger than her. May not have the same length advantage that Ribas has, but I don't know, man. I think Macy Barber's going to take her down to the ground and hold her there.
Yeah, Barber's she's just strong, bro. She's like a little pit bull, and she's going to be in there and fight like a pit bull and take Amanda down and just ground and pound, bro. I think Barber's going to KO or TKO her probably in the third round, man. Because Amanda does have good cardio. She has good cardio, right? But I don't know, dude. I think Macy's got her number. I really do.
Yeah.
Now, Ribas fights angry, too. So she's, like, in that mode, like Mackenzie Dern when she turns it on. She's such a nice, well-spoken lady, too. Her English is great for being Brazilian, you know what I mean? But she just turns that switch and she gets in the cage. Kind of leaves her chin out there a little bit. So Barber, I think she possibly could catch her, hurt her, club and sub type deal. If I see Barber, or I'm picking her Amanda Ribas, but I could see that scenario playing out. But angry Ribas for the win. That's my pick.
Well, and then Ribas did say that if she does win this fight in an amazing fashion, it's a title shot for her.
Yeah, because most of the other contenders have already fought the champion. So she was always on the cusp. She just got that one fight short. Who beat her? Who knocked her out, right? Her only loss in the UFC, wasn't it? Or Marina Rodriguez, I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. Chikagian is one of the best. She took Chikagian to a close fight, close decision. So she has fought the better ladies than Macy Barber, and that's why I think that's the difference in the fight is experience. She's angry. Hopefully she's angry. And, yeah, when she fights like that, doesn't leave her chin out, and usually she's on the winning side, you know. So. But speaking of leaving his chin out, no, I'm just kidding. Josh Emmett versus Ilia Topuria, super necessary fight. Josh Emmett wanted to get back on the horse, and he's never been thrown a bone by the UFC. He's always fighting killers, and he's fighting the up-and-coming undefeated killer in himself, Ilia Topuria. Rudy's second favorite fighter behind John Jones, right?
Yeah, bro. I mean, I'm high on this kid, bro. 13-0, minus 335 favorite, plus 250 underdog for Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett's no slouch, but yeah, man, I don't think there's a lot of fighters that got anything on Ilia Topuria, man. I think this dude's gonna just—he's gonna run through him and make it look easy.
Bro, El Matador is gonna come in and fucking starch Emmett, knock him out, third round. Could be second, but I'm gonna call it in the third round. Poirier's—he's a fucking monster, man.
Yeah, I don't know if it's season judges. I agree with you guys. Josh Emmett, though, like, he's a little bit older in age. Like, he has some crazy statistics, too, just in the UFC. Like, he's almost never really taken down. I think when Yair took him down, that was, like, the only time he's ever spent on his back. And Poirier, I think, will probably mix it up. Poirier can hold his own on the feet. And he's just, like, I know he's on the come up. He's very well-rounded. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, bro. If he fights, remember what he did to Ryan Hall? Everyone thought Ryan Hall was just going to fucking take his lunch, and he fucked him up.
He kicked him off anytime he tried to go for a takedown.
Nope.
Seeing like the only time.
Ryan Hall is like another fucking Gracie dude.
Oh, yeah. God.
He's bad.
No. He's white Gracie.
But I guess, like, to springboard Poirier to the title talks, this is the fight that he needed. And apparently, you know, Josh Emmett's just the man, you know, you got to get through it. I think he's pretty sour on the loss to Yair. I heard some pre-fight interviews with him that he wants to bounce back and make a statement. And shit, even in a guy that's Poirier that's right there, eventually they were going to fight. But this might be the best time to fight him, but at the same time, the worst, because Poirier is at his best. And if he does, in fact, get that Volkanovski fight later down the road, he may, in fact, catch Volk at the right time, too, because Poirier's way ahead of the game and one of the top guys. Will be one of the top guys at 145 for a while. My pick is Ilia Topuria, submission, third round. Mark.
Well, I ain't telling you yet because I don't know who I'm picking.
That's close.
I'm the somewhat leaning towards Emmett, but because he's got, you know, he's got a chin, he's got heart, but Topuria is a dangerous motherfucker.
It's, you know what I mean? Minus 350 favorite for Topuria right now, plus 275 underdog for Emmett.
Man.
I only pick Emmett just to throw some money on just for shits and giggles, but Topuria is probably going to go in there and it's not going to be pretty. It's going to take a little bit, though. It's not going to happen quick. It's going to take at least third round, fourth round, probably. Emmett's got a chin. He can take a punch. He can take some hits. So,
yep. That first round is everything in this fight, though, for sure. I don't, you know, judges not needed. Hopefully not, but very high stakes going down in Jacksonville. So, Topuria, it's proper. He's the favorite. You know, the odds makers know what's going on with this killer, and he's hungry, man. He's already in talks to fighting the Yairs, the Volkanovskis of the world. So hopefully he's not overlooking Josh Emmett, because Josh is a straight animal too. So coming off, you know, possibly being the title and you know, having the ball in his court, you know, with Volkanovski, that fight, I don't know how that fight would have been, but Josh Emmett's a little bit older, man. The young gun Topuria takes care of business in Jacksonville, right?
And don't forget, this card is going to start super early. Early.
How super early?
Like breakfast early.
Like breakfast, like 9:30 in the morning for me.
Yeah.
So 12:30. Wait, prelims or main card?
Prelims.
So it's gonna start at lunchtime for me. Jesus Christ.
So
that's all right. Lunch.
Pack your lunch now, there, Mark. It's fight time, baby, on Saturday.
I got PFL and Unified tomorrow. Romero's about to get the biggest win of his career against Obe Messier. And my house, Guthrie, is about to bring that belt home.
Yeah, and the PFL, is it a regular start time for them tomorrow?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So
there's going to be some good fights on the Unified card tomorrow night. Some good fighters on there. Vlad, Clayton, Cody, and Poulter are some good fighters from down here, and they're going to put on a great show for the fans. You guys, you know, watch it, and you'll enjoy their fights. Trust me.
If you don't, you know what that is.
You're not a real fight fan.
But yeah, you got to be, you know, the hits just keep on coming, and you better be ready day or night. You know what I mean? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, watching fights from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it takes. Well, we're coming up on the 30th anniversary, right? UFC, when we get the Yair Volkanovski. We'll be talking about that here in a couple weeks. So it's right there around the corner, boys. That's why very proper we get the number one contender produced out of this fight here. Because Volkanovski, do you guys think he retires? Not retired, but gives up the belt at 45, moves up, right?
Probably. If he wins, yeah.
Nothing left to prove, right? So that's another good discussion, too. That, yeah, we'll get to that, of course, talking about the fight. But this far out, like, with Topuria coming in, like, is that one more fight that he wants? Volk's already got nothing left to prove, right, other than put away Yair and put a stamp on, like, yeah, I need to get that rematch with the champ, you know, because Makhachev, it's a bad style matchup. So that's what I'm thinking, like, I don't know, Topuria, Emmett, very bad style matchup. That's where I think Topuria dominates this weekend, you know what I mean?
All right. Well, guys, time has caught up to us, as always. Awesome show. Obviously, we had some technical difficulties, but it's all freaking good. We'll get all the audio put together and upload it at our platforms that we are on. So I'm starting to upload them again. And now that I'm able to download them, because for the longest time, I wasn't able to download shit. So... So we're back on Pandora, iHeart, Spotify, all the platforms, Premier Streaming Network, we're on them as well. So go check us out. If you missed the live stream, you can hear the audio. So, but thanks to everybody that supports us. And David, you know what to do, man.
Yes, sir. Another one in the books, boys. Episode number 177. Like Rob said, for all our previous episodes, go wherever you get your podcasts or go search Sitting Ringside, Fightbook MMA. If you want all the latest combat sports news around the world, around the clock, go to fightbookmma.com. Hit us up on social media. Hit us up here in the chat. Check us out. Another one in the books, boys, Thursday night. For myself, Dave Rodriguez, Rudy Lara, producer at hand, Mark Ambie Miller up north, and Roberto Villa, the boss. We are Sitting Ringside. Enjoy the fights this weekend. We out. Shit.